Hello, humans, and welcome to the Engadget Podcast, episode 19, Simply the Best.
Simply the Best! Words.
Lyrics. You'll never get that song out of your head.
That's Tina Turner, right? Can we confirm?
I think.
Is anyone, you guys were born in the 80s.
In the 80s. Let's not do this.
Okay.
This is supposed to be a happy episode.
It's okay. I don't actually know that song.
Okay. Well, I just ruined everything, didn't I?
I am senior editor Devendra Hardwar. This guy next to me.
Hey, Chris Velasco, senior mobile editor.
I'm gonna kill at some point. And also,
what did I
our
do?
Co-managing editor, managing
whatever
editor,
your name is.
Yeah, Dana Wollman.
This one.
Yes. Howdy. Hello.
Hey, this is also known as the Ugly Sweater episode because this is our pre-Christmas episode of the show.
Which, for the listeners at home, Chris has already won. He has an ugly sweater ribbon. It says ugly on it, pinned to his collar.
Which, in fairness, was not my idea. It was my idea to put it on the neck, but it wasn't my idea to wear this. Because I, as far as I'm concerned,
but it was your idea.
You guys are also in contention.
We are.
Can we go around and describe
really
what we're wearing?
Well, so Chris has, I think, a great grandma Christmas sweater, but check us out on YouTube to see what's going on here.
It's a women's sweater with hearts, two short sleeves, and the kicker, shoulder pads inside.
One of which is defective.
It looks like it's dislocated.
One shoulder looks resolute and sturdy, and the other looks dislocated.
Well, it makes you look manly, so that's good.
Half manly, though.
Half manly.
Like, this one looks fine. This one...
Dana's wearing a very nice sheep
sweater. I don't celebrate Christmas. I've never owned a Christmas sweater in my life. We don't get to have nice things.
Uh-huh.
And no fun. And so the closest thing I have is this sweater vest with sheep on it, and there are sheep buttons, and they're mostly white buttons, except for this one black sheep button.
That's nice.
It's cute, but you said it was more of a grandma sweater than an ugly sweater.
It's also a grandma
which
sweater.
Which is okay with me.
Yeah. I think V's is both a grandma and ugly sweater.
Yeah,
and a Christmas sweater at the
same
time.
And a Christmas sweater. Yeah.
It's the heinous triple play is what it is.
That's why you win. Mm. I'm wearing a green and red Christmas-looking sweater. It actually looks pretty festive. I think this actually, though, is a Freddy Krueger cardigan. So it kind of works both ways from T-Fury. Not T-Fury. What's the other one? The Mondo Tees. They're the ones that do the movie related
don't you,
things.
Don't you have like a fedora upstairs or something that you could
have
been wearing in this
fedora from Microsoft,
moment?
Yes.
Right. Well, that would have really sealed the deal, don't you think?
I think, oh man. No, that's not Christmassy enough. But anyway, guys, let's move on to the actual show. Today we're going to talk about the winners of 2016. And I think the companies have been doing the best and some of our favorite gadgets. Next week is going to be the losers side of things, so the less successful stories. And that'll be Terrence, our regular host, will be back for that. Terrence is just sick this week. And also, he needs time to recoup. Everybody needs time to recharge before CES. And I'm sure we'll talk a bit about that today and next week as well. So we've been running a series of stories of winners and losers stories at Engadget. And they've covered all sorts of things, and we've had all of our writers kind of going in and diving deep into topics. And Dana, is there anything you want to say, in terms of how you guys came up with this idea or how you want to approach it? Because this is all you, right?
We really wanted to avoid the sort of gimmicks that you might see on some other sites around the internet. We specifically didn't do any posts that said, best smartphones of 2016, best laptops of 2016. We do have a best gadgets post, which includes smartphones and laptops, among other things. But we wanted to be a little more thoughtful just about who the movers and shakers were. And I'm really proud of all the stories we have. I really am. I got to edit all of them, and they're all really good.
Yeah.
And we actually started with a bigger list of both winners and losers. There were things that were kind of losers and kind of winners, but didn't... for whatever reason, make the cut or didn't feel as momentous as some of these things.
The meh of 2016, I guess.
Yeah.
All right. So let's talk about a couple of these stories. I'll save the best gadgets and stuff for the end. But first up, NASA. It's been a pretty good year for NASA. You know, I've always been a big fan. Grew up loving a lot of their space stuff, but they haven't had as much luck or love lately. But this year they've had, a higher focus on social media. Slightly bigger budget than in some recent years, too. So, that's pretty good for NASA.
Yeah, it's heartening to see, especially because over the past few years, we've seen companies like Blue Origin and SpaceX really dominate the conversation. And that's great. But at the end of the day, these are private companies trying to fulfill roles that we as a nation and as our sort of federal government have not really been able to fill. So I'm glad to see that the country itself is trying to step up a little bit in that regard.
Well, at least also, NASA itself is.
NASA so is. Good. I am also glad to see that NASA is finally on Giphy and Pinterest.
That's true. Yeah, they learned. I mean, they have a whole bunch of social media people at this point. So I think one of the more fun things to learn is that it took NASA a long time to realize the internet likes space.
So I don't know why it took them so long to figure that out.
Yeah. The nerds have not been paying attention because they're busy doing space stuff. Not as much, focusing on like how people are actually consuming their information. Yeah.
So it's funny. I mean, for them, mm-hmm. we're in a business where enthusiasm on the internet equals money for mm-hmm. us, right? That's like a direct measure of our success. But they don't necessarily, they're not rewarded by all this enthusiasm with the resources they need necessarily. So this isn't necessarily going to mean they're going to get the money that they've been needing. But
right. I guess public enthusiasm could eventually equal government funding.
It could eventually, yeah. But for now, it's like fan service. They're doing it for nerdery's
which is good.
Sake, sort of, which is fun.
Yeah, because I think for a while people kind of forgot that we could even do this.
You know,
that we could go to space or do meaningful things. I mean, after the space shuttle was kind of shut down, too, it seemed like we had lost something as a country or as even a civilization. You know, it's... That was an old ship, but we don't have anything to replace that yet. But anyway, so we see NASA working with the companies, the private companies too, SpaceX, Blue Origin as well. That's all pretty good. They, I think, also work together with one of the networks around the new Mars show as well. So we're seeing a lot more media around space. There's the movie Hidden Figures coming out soon about the black women at NASA. Who helped, was it John Glenn?
John Glenn, yeah.
Orbit the Earth. So I think the NASA stories are getting out there and the importance of them, that's all a good thing. Yeah. What else? VR and AR. It's, to me, I think was the year of VR.
Yeah, Aaron ran with kind of what might be a controversial headline.
We
which
may
was,
fight over this, yeah.
Which was, this was the year of VR mm-hmm. until AR stole it, was uh-huh. his headline.
I mean, I can definitely see that point. Maybe at some point we need to get Aaron on the podcast so we can shout about this in person.
Aaron's not a shouter, but okay. Very soft-spoken guy.
That would be, I want to see that battle, though. I mean, to me, it was the year of VR just because all the big consumer headsets came out. And, they were okay. They were pretty good, and they actually got better over time. They're expensive, they're kind of clunky to set up, and they're not for everybody yet, but there's enough good content out there that I think VR has reached a good point. Aaron points out, though, that AR, I think specifically in the form of Pokemon Go, mm-hmm. ended up being more of a consumer-friendly thing, or at least something people could get into pretty easily. They didn't need special hardware for it. They could just put an app on their phone, it's free, and play around with this new form of things. So
right.
That's a good point, too.
Yeah. And I'm willing to concede that 2016 was a year in which we saw pretty dramatic growth in both categories.
Yes.
But I got to ask you, Devendra, mm-hmm. as a guy who's used way more VR than I have in general, do you think that mix will sort of be the same next year?
The mix of VR,
and AR sort of...
And mixed reality, which is what a lot of the story was about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's pretty much it. Like, Microsoft, for the longest time, hasn't kind of separated VR and AR. Like,
right.
they're the whole Windows holographic thing. That OS can power both the VR systems and something like HoloLens. And the HoloLens, the whole idea is mixed reality, right? So it's you have the AR stuff, but eventually maybe some VR stuff as well, or real-life stuff coming into VR worlds. I think ultimately there is going to be a mixture of stuff here. Yeah. And we've seen some of that too. Some of the stuff Oculus has shown off, the sort of Facebook Messenger and social stuff, that all looks cool. The ability to like live video chat somebody while you're in VR and somebody's on their phone or something.
Yeah.
That all looks pretty cool.
It is a little disheartening, though, to see, I don't know, you guys have seen the stories about Magic Leap, for example, uh-huh. sort of not being where they claim to be. So, to dial it back a little bit, Magic Leap is a very secretive company working on, would it technically be classed as augmented reality or mixed reality?
It sounds like augmented reality is the idea, like glasses that, would make things appear in real life.
Right.
Yeah.
But I forget who ran the original story, but Mm-hmm. Basically, they've promised the world, they've shown off really incredible demo videos, which at this point really just seem to be pre-rendered videos. I think Waitaworks out of New Zealand was contracted, and they thought they were doing just visual assets for games that Magic Leap would be working on, but it turns out they might have been actually doing basically the entire video.
Mm-hmm. Oh, boy.
So it's that one big company that everyone sort of looked at and said, hey, maybe they've really got something figured out here.
Yeah.
Let's see what they've got.
Well, they've gotten a ton of funding, too. And I think the only sign we had that they had something real was those people with all the money saw what they had and was like, yeah, here's $500 million, you know, which is what I think Google put in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think some of this underscores Aaron's point, which is that, yes, this was the year of VR in the sense you were talking about, which is that this is the year all the headsets shipped, many of which arrived to really good reviews. But no one is talking about those headsets as if they are the future. I mean, they're the present, and they're really cool. But when people talk about the future, they do seem to be talking about something
I don't know. I feel like this is a constant thing in tech media, though. It's like, oh, man, we've been waiting for this thing for decades, and it's here. It's like, eh. What's coming after this? It's like we're never happy in a way, you know? But yeah, I see that point too. Like,
I feel like it's different for topics like virtual reality, which, I mean, obviously, like, that's been a thing. It's been a linchpin of sort of tech culture for a while.
They tried
it in the 90s. Exactly.
Yeah.
It didn't really pan out the first time around because the hardware technology wasn't there.
Yep.
But we've had this long to chew on it. And now that it's here, it's like, okay, well, we've been thinking about this for 35 years.
Mm-hmm.
We have it. Okay, now what?
Now what? I guess I'm a big fan of it, too, because it feels like the internet in the 90s, which was such an exciting time where things were broken and not totally consumer-friendly, but I liked the process of seeing us figure it out. I think that's all very interesting as a technology, I know, for the tech world to figure that out.
I think for us as reviewers, it's cool to see potentially big gaps or leaps between a first and second generation product.
Mm-hmm.
We tested the first generation products this year. We actually like them a lot, but it's kind of fun to not quite know what to expect in 2017. Whereas, you know, with smartwatches, even though that was sort of a newish category in the past couple of years, I think we knew what to expect, which was hopefully longer battery life and more apps. With VR, and I think that immersive experience, it's a little muddier, but in a good way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. I mean, also, yeah, we were saying those things about smartwatches, like, just last a little longer. But I think it turns out, too, like, we've seen the wearable market kind of crash a bit.
That is for Losers Week.
That's for Losers Week. That's a whole thing. But,
smartwatches made the list.
Oh, I'm not surprised. AI everywhere. This was a good year for that, too. That was in a lot of products. Mona's going to be writing about that. But, yeah, do you guys have anything to add in that? It seems like AI has been the buzzword everybody is quick to add to all their products these days.
Yeah. I mean, my earlier point about VR sort of being this thing we've chewed on for decades, AI occupies the same sort of space for a lot of people. And it still seems like it's being baked into a lot of really interesting products and being deployed at scale in a lot of really interesting ways. But what really excites me is the fact that it is such a broad field. Like, you could feasibly take an intelligence or a machine learning algorithm and plop it into any device that collects information and then derive insight from it. Like, that broad application is effing staggering to me.
That's how IBM's been pitching Watson forever, just like something to make sense of large data sets, which is both exciting and terrifying. You know, the idea that we could just instantly apply this intelligence to it. Like, we're already talking about the danger of the government kind of getting access to all of our information. And there's the whole thing about the Yahoo hack and like how they help the government kind of sift through emails. What if it's just as easy for the government to like deploy machine intelligence to our data sets rather than just have a search field or something? You know, it's terrifying. It's kind of crazy. But yeah, AI and everything. That's also something we've been hearing about for decades. And I've been reading some good AI stuff. I think Nick Bostrom wrote a good book about it, Superintelligence. The interesting thing about AI is that as we make advances, everybody is less excited about those advances. Like, it becomes, oh, that's just another tech thing and not like a major AI leap, you know? So whatever we do ends up not being classified as AI. So AI has always seemed perpetually kind of out there in the distance. So yeah, I don't know. We're moving forward there. Good year for Netflix. Well, they've had so many originals. So
yeah, I mean, so Richard made the point that they kicked off 2016 by entering all these different international markets in one fell swoop. And that was just the beginning of their year. To begin the year with world domination and go from there is not something we get to say about many other companies.
This is not the company. What was the spinoff they were trying to do? Was it?
Oh, back in the day?
Quickster?
Was it? So...
I can't.
It was maybe
right
was Quickster.
Quickster or Flickster?
It's not Flickster. That was something else. But
Quickster.
Yeah. Let's go with that for now. I'm sure we'll get correction. But like this is a very different company from the one that thought it was a good idea to spin itself off and then with a really badly produced video. I don't know if you guys remember that, but it was just like the CEO and the content head just like in their parking lot, like just
I remember the backlash area. More than the promo video.
It was just it seemed really all over the place. So, but now Netflix seems like a focused company. They have so many originals now. They have so many originals. They can't even like the OA, that new show that came out. We didn't know it existed or it was coming out until like a week or a couple days before the release.
Yeah,
they just have so much content now.
They have the originals, which allows for offline viewing since they don't have licensing problems with that, and. They're striking some good deals, including the one with Disney.
Yeah. Disney is a good deal. I mean, they're getting Disney's things for streaming right after. So if you want to watch Zootopia this year, that ended up on Netflix, I think, 3 or 4 months after it left theaters.
Really quick turnaround.
That's pretty impressive. Mm-hmm. Yeah, especially for Disney because their stuff is still really expensive digitally and Blu-rays. Like their Blu-rays, you actually pay a premium for those.
Mm-hmm.
Their Blu-rays often stay around $30 or something. But yeah, speaking of offline downloads, too, that was another feature Netflix added. A lot of people have wanted. I haven't used it much myself.
It's great.
Yeah?
Yeah, so I was in Chicago the morning it launched with a bunch of other tech journalists. So the news dropped, and then we just start tittering at each other, like, oh my God, this is really cool. And then I think I spent the next hour downloading 3 or 4 seasons of Star Trek Next Generation, just like ostensibly for my flight home, but really just to have them whenever I wanted them.
But they'll disappear eventually thanks to timing rights and whatever. But have you actually watched the stuff you've downloaded?
God, no. No, of course not. It's only to know that I have the power.
Only to know. Yeah. Well, yeah, you have the power. It's good for flights, good for offline connectivity.
Thankfully, not limited to originals as well.
Mm-hmm. And all sorts of good moves, too. Like, I just got a 4K TV, and just seeing the Netflix content in 4K and HDR and all that stuff, it's looking pretty good. So, yeah, nice to have faith in Netflix again. Let's see what else is here. Tesla. It was a good year for Tesla. This is the year of their master plan, right?
Mm-hmm.
Coming to fruition. What we heard more about the Model 3, or at least the pre-orders started for their most consumer version.
Pre-orders stretch into, I believe, 2018?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it was the whole thing because like people put down money even before they really knew what the car was going to be. I've had friends who lined up at Tesla dealerships just to kind of get ready for that thing because, you know, a vaguely affordable electric car from Tesla, that's there's a lot of appeal to that, right?
Yeah. I mean, I think more than anyone have been the company that has driven the conversation around electric vehicles, if only because all their cars look really nice. And like my dad wants one, and my dad, he drives like a Hyundai right now.
Right.
He's never been the kind of person who's really cared about, you know, green energy or, you know, conserving the planet. But because it is simpler and more elegant and just good looking now, it is kind of in vogue thanks to Tesla to be all about this stuff.
Oh man!
And it's the cars are only part of it. I mean, there's the battery making gigafactory.
Mm-hmm.
There's the Solar City acquisition. Fairly easy, I think, because...
And SolarCity was a company that Elon
Musk... Which was chairman.
Yeah, he was chairman. It was founded by his cousins, I believe, so what a family.
Yeah.
but yeah, it's just kind of bringing it into the fold.
Mm-hmm. So I think that's why we went with that headline, the master plan was realized. It wasn't just the ability to achieve this electric vehicle at a fairly reasonable price. It was the whole... grid and sort of ecosystem surrounding it. I think really their last remaining big challenge is figuring out how to ramp up production so that they're not a year and a half back ordered every time they come out with a hot new car.
For sure. Yeah, that's kind of the thing. They've always been, they haven't been able to meet all the demand, even when their cars have been so expensive. But yeah, speaking of the SolarCity stuff too, the announcement of those solar roof tiles.
Yeah.
Which I don't think anybody expected. And honestly, it's kind of a boring thing to most people. But you know, if they could be effective roof tiles and also good solar power generators or collectors, that's really, that could change a lot.
Yeah, that's way more important than a lot of people are giving it credit for.
And you add that plus the home battery plus, like, oh, potentially you'll have a Tesla in the home too. So, like, you have this whole loop of solar power that could be really useful to a lot of people. And I guess the last one before we get to gadgets, has been a pretty good year for emojis too.
Bad for language?
Bad for language. I mean, I just saw the trailer for the Emoji Movie,
which
coming from
Sony. I refuse to acknowledge that thing's existence.
It looks horrifying. It looks not great. But do you guys have thoughts on emojis?
Can you frame
your thoughts in emoji pictures and
okay,
communicate
hold on.
It
give
over
me,
audio?
Give me 5 seconds here.
Okay.
With regard to the year in emoji, kissy face, cat with heart eyes, middle finger taco.
Poop emoji.
Yeah,
Smiling poop emoji.
Very gleeful poop emoji, just to really encapsulate the last few months of this year.
Okay. Dana, I think Dana's looking up all the emojis he needs to express their emotions right now. What are emojis? But yeah, it's
pretty. Wait, really quick. Here. So catch me up just a little bit.
Uh-huh.
What's your understanding of the plot of the Emoji Movie?
Based on the trailer, it looks like there is a shot of like somebody's phone, and then the movie dives into the phone, and then you see the world of emojis. So, you know, we've run out of ideas. Entirely.
So they're emoji with personality?
Yeah.
Personalities?
Emojis. Like, clearly the poop emoji has, like, a posh British voice, I think.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
Naturally.
So, because that juxtaposition is funny. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, so for us, it was, emoji made the list, because, one, they're everywhere, right? Including on your MacBook Pro keyboard. They're everywhere, and they've, I wouldn't say they are a language unto themselves, but they're, I think they've become more mainstream and more legitimized, first of all. And, why are you making faces at me?
I think
he's making emojis at you.
I think there is some terrible, terrible argument to be made that emoji could be a language unto themselves.
Well, yeah, I mean, they to some extent have not, they haven't outright replaced written language, but maybe moving in that direction. I mean, look at how iOS works with the word replacement, where it automatically suggests an emoji. And if you tap it, you don't get the word and the emoji. It just outright takes away the word and puts a party hat.
I mean, well, also finding emojis sucks. So it's terrible and hard. Like, if you don't have a good selection of things,
I just wish that's a pet peeve about iOS, having an iPhone. I wish it didn't work that way. When I send a happy birthday text, I want it to say happy birthday followed by a string of festive emoji.
Right.
And it bothers me that I have to do extra work
to
make that happen.
You have to type in the words to get the simplified image of the word. I mean, I wouldn't argue that it is a language just because we've had symbolic languages like this, or at least pictorial things, for a while, even before the written word. So we're kind of going back in a way. I don't know what this says about human civilization. It's not good.
And I mean, I think when we're on the subject of iOS, I think there's a whole thing about Apple specifically, not just with the emoji, but the animation effects that it added to messages this year.
Yep.
Just all of, and you know, things like invisible ink when you are putting someone in suspense or you're saying something, you know.
I don't think it's meant for putting people in suspense.
Oh, what do you use it for? Oh, it's sexting?
Let's not.
Oh.
I was going to avoid that word, Dan.
Wow.
But.
Well, okay, grandma and her grandma sweater here doesn't know any better. Okay.
Let me ask you, since we're talking about these additional iMessage effects, do the people you know who have iPhones and use iMessage know they're there? Because I've had to explain
their existence to everybody.
Yeah.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, it's not enough anymore to have the words. You need these visual effects to go with them, including the emoji, to convey nuance. And I think it's interesting that from that specific Apple event, Apple spent a lot of time talking about messaging and emoji compared to, let's say, other features which were given short shrift in that presentation. You were there.
Right.
I think it was more like, hey, look, we can do Snapchat too.
We're cool.
You never have to leave
our messages app.
Just don't go to Snapchat. Stay.
It was like, oh, here's this thing about the Notes app, but messages. We're going to talk to you for 15 minutes about emoji and messages.
Man. Yeah, that's a whole other discussion. Apple's focus this year.
Mm-hmm. They did not make the winners list.
They did not. Let's go to the gadget list. So we have a whole bunch of things here and not enough time to really dive deep into all of them. But briefly, among the phones, we have the iPhone 7 Plus.
But not the 7.
I think for good reason.
I think so, too. It's, yeah. It's fascinating because we also have, and this might be spoiling things a little bit, but we do have the S7 and S7 Edge on the list, as well as the Pixel and Pixel XL.
But thanks for ruining this entire conversation.
We'll get there. We'll get there. But we're leading off with the iPhone, and I think it's an important point to make.
Yes.
In that with the Pixel XL versus the Pixel and the Edge versus the S7, they're bigger, they're slightly nicer, but there really aren't any material advantages except for maybe battery life.
The hardware is the same.
Exactly. Much, yeah. I think having the much improved dual camera setup on the iPhone 7 makes it a clear winner over
on the iPhone 7
iPhone,
Plus.
iPhone 7
yeah.
Plus rather yeah. makes it a clear winner over the 7. Like if you if you don't mind the size, then that should be the phone that you get. Period.
Yeah, I mean, because you're also trading off the convenience of the headphone jack too, which I'm gonna die on this hill, guys. But yeah,
AirPods,
not a fan
bro.
Of that.
AirPods.
Decision. Yeah.
I'm going to keep saying AirPods until Devinder murders me.
You don't
me.
Actually like the AirPods
yeah,
that
you hate
much.
Them.
I don't. I
you
find
don't hate
them,
but you don't like
I
them
I don't
that
hate
much.
Them. Here's so I digress, but I think they're incredibly convenient. Probably some of the most convenient earbuds I've ever used. Uh-huh. Do I wish they could do more? Do I wish I could change tracks without having to talk to Siri or whip out my phone? You're damn right I do. But I love the ability to go to the train station, pop in my earbuds, listen to a podcast, then get on another train when I get to New York, keep listening to the same thing, get here, open up my laptop, have it switch to my Mac, and then just go from there. Like, I can leave them in my ears the
sheer
entire
laziness.
Day. Laziness, convenience, yeah. Where's the line?
They're more like audio computers, I guess. Or,
I mean, that's very yeah. much how they're being pushed, and I really can't wait to see what happens with AirPods V2.
Mm-hmm.
These things do a lot right, but they also kind of suck in a lot of ways, too. So
okay.
That's
yeah.
fair to say.
That's a whole. So that's AirPods as a part of the iPhone 7 Plus discussion, but I also pushed for just including the 7 Plus because of that dual camera, and yeah, that seems to make the trade-offs more worth it. But yeah, you mentioned the S7, the Galaxy S7, and S7 Edge. And I think they're still good phones. They're great. They're fast.
Mm-hmm.
And by this point, everyone's waiting for the S8.
Right.
I feel like Samsung's hurting a little from all the Note 7 debacle. You can get a really good deal on these phones. Like, if you want to upgrade soon and you want, like, a great Android phone, you can get these things pretty
decently. That is true, although at this point, if you haven't gotten an Android phone, if you're looking for an Android smartphone, you haven't purchased one this year, man, just wait.
Wait till what?
S7, or excuse me, the S8s were announced just prior to MWC last year, and then we got a review, and it's in like March. So what, 3 months, 3-4 months to see if a new phone is worth it?
Well, okay, so I guess at that point, HTC will be on the way with the HTC 11-ish.
Or
11, or you.
Or you.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Because they didn't learn from Nintendo's mistake there.
I guess you could wait.
You could wait.
At that point, the Pixels will still be great phones.
Pixels will still be great phones. Yeah. They might be a little cheaper.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of doubt that, but if that's the case, I mean, sure, why not?
That's the thing. Waiting is something you can always do. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying right now, if your phone dies and you need to replace a phone immediately.
You have some good options.
S7 or S7 Edge, absolutely.
Cheap options. And I also, we'll hear about what's in the S8 or next year's phones, but there's not that much to be excited about in terms of new hardware, you know? Like,
well, I wonder how all of this Note 7 stuff had to change Samsung's priorities going into the S8s. Like, it happened far enough along in the year that most of their planning and production sort of setup work had to be done already.
Yeah.
But to bounce back from something like the Note 7, I don't think you could put out another sort of iterative S7 Plus kind of device and expect it to do as well as you'd need
it to. I think one way of bouncing back would be to not release a Note next year.
Well, yeah. The Note is dead.
Yeah.
Note as
time
a line
off.
Is gone. I don't think we'll see that again.
I think we're going to see a lot of the Note features folded into the S line.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, that's a bit of a tragedy for me. The Note 7 was, prior to the Pixels, was by far my favorite Android phone of 2016.
We loved it until it
hurt people.
Yeah.
You loved it too much.
I loved it too much. And frankly, Samsung asked me for it back, and I had to remove it. I was going to frame it just as a piece of history, and because it hadn't killed me yet.
Shaking my head.
Why? What's wrong? What's wrong with that?
Well, we have a lot of old hardware.
It was inert.
We look forward to your story on Samsung for Losers Week.
Yeah.
By the way.
Spoiler alert, Samsung did not have a great year.
No,
it did
not.
That'll be a lot of fun. Well, also, we mentioned the Google Pixel and Pixel XL. I really like the Pixel XL, and I'm not a fan of big phones, but it's svelte.
It doesn't
feels
feel
good.
Like it. I mean, maybe my perceptions are skewed now after having used big phones for a really long time.
I agree.
I remember you and I were having a conversation about the 6 Plus way back when. I think probably close to when we first started working together here. Mm-hmm. And we could not have disagreed more. I was pretty okay with it. And you just hated
the
thing.
I hated the 6 Plus. And I also still hate that the 7 Plus has that same design because it's too top heavy. It's too big for what it is. There's so much bezel space. I hate holding the Plus phones. but you put a Pixel XL next to it. And it looks like a standard iPhone. You know, the Pixel XL has a 5.5-inch screen, but very little bezel. Feels really good in your hands. I have big hands, but I'm not a fan of gigantic, overweight phones in general. So works well for me.
Yeah,
so
I don't love the design, but I think you're right. The fit and finish and the way they handled the weight, especially, I think was pretty inspired for... I mean, it's an HTC device. At the end of the day. So you kind
HTC
of have to give them credit for it.
Google Design.
Google Design and did all of the work. HTC produced it. But, I mean, what a dream team to put a phone like that together. And I think it turned out really, really well.
Mm-hmm. It's boring, but feels good. Laptops. HP Spectre 13.3, which I know you really liked. Dana.
Yeah.
That's one of the prettiest laptops I've ever seen.
Super pretty and well-performing. The battery life wasn't, super long, but... on par with others in its class, despite being a super thin and light laptop. I forget the exact poundage, but it was like two-ish pounds, and it's as thick as a AAA battery.
Yeah, that sounds about right. But
pretty tiny.
The power of it, too, seemed to perform pretty well. Given
more
that
powerful,
size.
Certainly, than the 12-inch MacBook.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, which, by the way, nope. So if you're...
He's using it right now.
If you're strictly listening to this, I'm using the 12-inch MacBook right now, and I hate it.
Mm-hmm.
I can't get more than like 6 tabs in Chrome going before it just chugs.
Oh boy,
That's not asking a lot. That's not a lot.
They should have refreshed the chip this year. They did it earlier in the year, but not later, like when Intel's new chips were available.
Yeah, so I think so. This is the second generation 12-inch MacBook, and I think the biggest advantage it had was battery life. Dana, you could probably confirm if that's the case, but
no. No, that's one of my things about the 12-inch MacBook is. It's smaller and it does have these Core M processors, which are, lower power than the Core I series, but you don't actually really get longer battery life in exchange. Apple has not been great on laptop battery life this year. Not that it's always terrible, but the Touch Bar MacBook Pros, the battery life was a little underwhelming. It was shorter than last year's models. Other reviewers complained about the mediocre battery life. Mm-hmm. And, the MacBook you're using, the battery life isn't so great.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like Apple put this model out, at least in part, because the battery in the original was worse.
Mm-hmm.
And not to say that this is good, because it is not good.
I mean...
But Apple was like, oh, this is better.
I'm going to go on a slight tangent here. I'm using the Lenovo 910 right now, which I'm testing but haven't put up my review. And one reason I haven't put up my review, aside from me being busy... is that this scored so much better on the battery test than Lenovo said it would that I'm suspicious of the good results.
Mm.
Well, let's take a really quick, deeper look at our review process. What do you do in a situation like that?
I mean, I run the tests a bunch of times.
Yeah.
I might fiddle with the settings, but it's at the point where this promises something like 15 and a half hours of battery life on video, and I'm up to like 17 or 18.
Wow. And this is running, is this a new Intel chip in this one? I think it would have to be, right?
The
7th gen?
But, so the results here are so good that I think they're fishy, and I'm suspicious. and we've seen other really good results this year. The Surface Book has great battery life, albeit it's a thicker and heavier machine.
Yeah.
And, I mean, even the MacBook Pro without the Touch Bar did fairly well. The 15-inch MacBook Pro did better, but again, it's a bigger, heavier machine.
And Apple's always done better with battery life when it comes to their bigger machines, and less so for the MacBook.
Yeah.
I'd be interested in seeing what the changes with the new Intel chips moving forward are, because they put a lot of video decoding on the chip itself, which is supposed to really help with battery life and lower CPU usage.
Yeah, no, I don't know what to make of these results yet, because I feel like if this were normal, Lenovo just would have said it lasts 17 hours on charge.
Right. Almost, so we're almost still 20. We're slowly getting there.
Yeah.
Also on the list, the Dell XPS 15, just the bigger version of the XPS 13, which we really liked last year. I like what Dell is doing. I don't know if you have any other thoughts to add on that one.
Dell really has done a lot in recent years to push back against its reputation for bad products and bad service. Mm-hmm. And I really... I'm not in the market for a laptop right now, but I would consider one of the XPS mm-hmm. laptops. I like their design, their keyboards. I like their general performance and battery life. I like how small the footprint is. Mm-hmm. And now everyone's doing that, but Dell kind of was doing it before a lot of other laptop makers.
For sure. And
that
they're, they're vaguely affordable, too. Like, I bought one for my brother earlier this year before the – we'll hear about the refresh stuff later. But it was, like, under $800
Oh, yeah, that's the thing. I mean
– yeah.
When people come to me with asking for laptop recommendations, often their budget might be under $1,000 Mm-hmm. There is not a sub $1,000 MacBook right now, especially if you want it, if you want the extended AppleCare warranty, which really you do because it's the difference between like you want the 3-year warranty. So yeah, I mean, if you want a sub $1,000 machine, you are looking at a Windows machine, and then I definitely would recommend something like the XPS.
Cool. So good time for laptops. Also, I argued to have all the VR headsets on our best of gadgets list, and I didn't
stop you.
I'm okay with this decision, yeah, because first of all, I can't pick a winner. They're all good in their own rights, and they all have issues in their own rights, but I can't say one is better than the other. The HTC Vive... really made room scale a thing this year and gave us motion controls before the Oculus Rift got it. But the Oculus Rift came out first, and they just released their touch controllers. So now both of those systems are $800 when you have everything. The Oculus touch controllers are so good.
I haven't used them yet.
Oh, man. One of my best tech memories is just like seeing the NES when I was like 5 and holding the controller. I was like, I think I just started crying as a kid. I was like, I need this in my life, you know? So I'm a fan of controllers. They're just kind of embedded in me. And these are great controllers. They just feel great in your hands. And there are a lot of good games now. So you still need an expensive PC and everything for it. But as far as PC VR goes, we're in a really good spot. But I also wanted to mention the PS, the PlayStation VR. If you have a PlayStation 4, you add this $400 to $500 system, and you have decent workable VR in your living room, too, which is important.
Plus,
and,
Res Infinite.
Res Infinite, which is
fantastic. The reason to get PSVR.
Oh, man. It's so
good. What a
speaking of which, one of the things we haven't spoken about today is our best games roundup.
Oh, yes, yeah.
Which, by the time our listeners and viewers see this, should be on the site.
Yeah, I won't go down that whole list, but for me, Overwatch.
It was 10 Engadget editors contributed, which is actually a pretty sizable chunk of the Engadget editorial staff.
Yeah.
It's like 1 in 3 of our staffers, basically, or a little under that. And you all had strong opinions kind of all over the map. And
all over the place.
Yeah.
I have strong disagreements with some of the entries on that.
Yes. Can I ask you which you disagree with the most?
People don't like Superhot. I don't agree with that, but okay. Superhot is a great it's a PC game, sort of like a action movie simulator in a way, but with a really weird hacker story. Just really good gameplay. Anyway,
what amused me most about reading that story was Deputy Managing Editor James True wanted to participate, but he only
First of all, we should not have let him participate.
He only seems to play games on his Atari Lynx.
Yep.
That's so that was where he was coming from in contributing to that story.
Yeah.
California Games for Game of the Year 2016.
There you go. James and his links will never
his favorite game is it. What, 25 years old or something?
Yep.
Yeah.
They age well.
They do. The Lynx was always a good system, and I think maybe for James it was the same feeling as me in the NES. I was like, I love this. I love this thing so much. But I've moved on to the newer stuff. Speaking of VR, I can't not mention mobile VR, because we've seen a lot of good stuff, and Google's Daydream headset is very good.
Really just giving Samsung a run for its money.
Yeah. Motion controllers, it's cheaper than the Gear VR.
More comfortable.
Looks and better.
Yeah, it looks better,
by far.
Too. And it'll work with a wider variety of phones, too, right? It's the Pixel phone so far, the Moto Z phones.
Moto Z, yep.
A bunch more coming next year. So Google's in a good spot. Beyond that, VR is just looking good. Like, there's a lot of stuff they have to change and a lot of stuff we have to improve on. But I've been dreaming of this since the 90s, since Lawnmower Man, you know? So,
jeez.
Yeah,
That was exactly. A rough movie, man.
But what's funny is going back and watching, you know, 90s sci-fi about VR, it looks so similar. Like the headsets look very similar to the Vive and the wires and everything. Like this is exactly what we've been building for a while. We've just finally gotten good at it.
I'm really just waiting for someone to create a web browsing experience that looks like it came out of Hackers.
Well, you can have that, sir.
I want that. With a VR headset. Please, anyone listening to this, if you have the wherewithal to create a web browser that functions like everything that happens in the 1995 movie Hackers, starring Johnny Lee Miller and Angelina Jolie, please, I will pay you whatever's in my pocket, which at this point is like lint and buttons.
It's a terrible movie, but it's a great movie because I love it. Let's just go down the list of other gadgets want to mention. The PS4 Pro.
PS4 Pro.
I think it's not revolutionary, but for $400, you get some really good hardware in there, and you pair that up with the PSVR, that's a pretty decent virtual reality.
And its biggest competitor isn't arriving for another year.
Yeah. Like whatever the Xbox Scorpio thing will be called, it'll be more powerful, but Sony has a whole year on them. So that's pretty amazing there. The Amazon Echo Dot, which we've liked all the Echo stuff.
Yeah.
Echo Dot is $50 now. Actually has, I think, less features, or it seems, I have the first Echo Dot.
Mm-hmm.
It seems it's a little smaller, but it's a little cheaper too. So I think that's how they reduce the cost.
Do you guys remember back when the first Echoes started hitting people's doorsteps and the initial batch of reviews was just really, really bad?
Because Echo, like the whole Alexa thing, it all gets smarter over time. So yeah, it was bad. It was really bad early on. By the time I got the first Echo to play with, it was pretty good. Like there were so many good voice commands, and Echo was just a lot better at listening to me. So yeah, still recommend it. You won't be able to get one in time for a gift this year.
Yeah, we're very sorry. You're just a little screwed there.
Yeah,
but still a good one. Anki's Cosmo, which is a cool little desktop robot.
I love
I'm
that.
A big fan.
Yeah,
it's kind of a jerk, but it's kind of fun to play with. Yeah,
Dana, would you choose one in lieu of an actual furry pet?
In lieu of a furry pet?
Yeah, like would you rather have a cat or an Anki Cosmo?
I'd rather. I mean, like
but Cosmo will never love you
permanently.
Well, I mean, not yet.
I don't.
Also,
no,
there's
I'll take the Anki
Cosmo.
It doesn't shed or make a mess or poop on my belongings.
Yes.
No cat vomit.
No cat vomit.
Yeah, hairballs are a thing. Hairballs are a thing.
Yeah.
I can put up with Anki's
never actually loving
tantrums.
You.
Yeah. There's
come on, it says ow when it falls off the table. It's
it sounds like Wally. It's adorable. And there's a bit of AI in there too, so that goes to the whole story of AI being in everything at this point. And last thing we mentioned was the Chevy Bolt. You know, affordable all-electric car from Chevy, of all people.
Yeah.
So they kind of did what we expected the Model 3 to do just a bit earlier. I don't know how many people have actually gotten these things yet, but it seems good on paper. You know, I haven't seen too many reviews, though.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know anyone who has one, but the stuff I've read all seems really positive, which, I mean, I can't remember the last time I gave a shit about a Chevy car, frankly, because... Great, like Impala. Good job, guys. But this, I mean, I'm really strongly considering maybe going electric.
Yeah.
And I'm probably not going to wait for a Model 3.
You also we've been trying to get you to New York forever. You're probably going to stay in Jersey. So you'll need a car.
That's true. And my current car is, I got it when I graduated high school. It's been through several accidents.
Mm.
It's still under 100,000 miles, but I'm feeling the itch. The pre-programmed itch to like want something newer, better now is kicking in real hard.
You have that itch all the time.
Yeah, I know.
You buy all the things.
That's not true. In fairness, we get a lot of the things. And then I test them for like a week, and I'm like, I'm over this. See you later. Back to manufacturer.
Anything else you guys want to mention? Any personal favorites before we wrap up? There's so many different things. I actually brought down... something here. Microsoft's Surface Natural Ergonomic Keyboard. I'm a big fan of their ergonomic stuff and the split natural design, so I'll be writing about
that. So the podcast medium really doesn't do this justice, but
go to
oh
YouTube,
my God,
folks.
Guys, this is so soft.
I've never seen you like this before.
V, feel it.
I felt it. I sit next to him. I just like touch it from time to time when he's not here.
It's soft and soft.
It's so soft.
I mean, it's cushy soft, but also cat soft.
Cat soft. Well, there's like this material.
You're looking at me as you say cat
material
soft.
At the bottom that just feels good.
Well, yeah.
And the keys themselves feel good.
I don't even like ergonomic keyboards, mm-hmm. but I just like what Microsoft did with the palm rest there.
Mm-hmm. Frankly, like all of the stuff Microsoft announced alongside the Surface Studio seems incredible. Like and I want a dial for basically no reason other than to like scrub through audio tracks or like when I'm editing a waveform, just like get
you
in real time.
Seeing more of those from more companies.
You know, I think if I could do it over again, I would put Microsoft in Winners Week.
Mm-hmm. You mean the That's actually a good point because they have done pretty well, especially compared to Apple this year.
I think what puts the bow on it for me is the reception to the Surface Studio versus the questioning of Apple around their Macs, especially their desktop line.
Because that event also came a couple days after the Surface Studio unveiling. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was a good week.
It was a busy week.
It was a good quote-unquote week.
Apple often deliberately schedules its press events right after its competitors. Mm-hmm. I think that may have backfired this time.
And also just the energy of the event wasn't that great. Like, I was there at the Microsoft one. You had, you know, the creator of the Surface and Microsoft execs just, like, saying big groundbreaking things, like what they intend to do. It sounded very visionary. Then Apple, it was a couple journalists in a very small conference room, and nobody, not even the people on stage, were excited about what they were showing off. Everybody hated being there. It was very strange.
It was, Dana, correct me if I'm wrong, they held it in, like, the Cupertino auditorium, like, at their headquarters, right? Which is tiny.
Mm-hmm. They do that. They often do some of their fall events there. Not the big September iPhone event, but they've been mm-hmm. known sometimes to do follow-up October events there.
I only point this out because I was there for the iPhone SE event, which was a bit of a...
sounds like a big event.
Exactly. Same general scale, I would say. But everyone seemed really bummed out around there that day because they just assumed it would be the last event at that auditorium before mm-hmm. they moved into the spaceship. And lo and behold, oh wait, we've got one more. And here you go. Have some MacBooks, guys.
Here's a Touch Bar.
Touch Bar. Wait, Dana, would you put Touch Bar in the winners or losers list? Not ours, but just in general for this year.
Losers. I mean, so we have a story coming up on Apple for Losers Week. I'm going to spoil some of it. So the thesis of the story isn't that Apple lost, because if you look at Apple's profits and its financial returns, it's doing just fine.
Mm-hmm.
But Apple fans specifically kind of lost this year. Mm-hmm. They didn't get the MacBooks or MacBook Pros quite that they were imagining or needed or wanted. I know I didn't.
Dana needs
they had
reports.
Their headphone jacks taken away. This, you know, dongle life. I would argue, too, I don't know if the story goes deep into this, I think some of Apple's software and services need work. I have problems even with signing into iCloud every day. All that.
We're going to get a lot of feedback about this.
Good. Feedback is welcome.
Always good. Okay. If you guys don't want to mention anything else, let's wrap up here. Thank you guys for joining me, and also happy birthday,
Dana! Happy birthday,
Dana! Happy birthday!
23 years old.
Yep. today is not my birthday.
Happy birthday!
And the day this airs isn't my birthday.
But the day after that will be your birthday, and also Christmas Eve.
Yes.
Aw.
So merry crib birthday, Hanukkah.
Crib birthday.
Huh. Is Hanukkah over? Did I miss that boat completely?
No. Hanukkah begins on Christmas Eve this year.
Nice. Wait a second. So, this Saturday is Christmas Eve, the beginning of Hanukkah, and your birthday.
Yes, so I'm having, on the same day, latkes and birthday cake.
God, that's a good life.
Yeah,
the
go
carb
wrong.
Life.
Good. That's pretty good. Carb it up, Dana.
And Hanukkah doesn't end this year until 2017, which I think is kind of fascinating, that it straddles two calendar years this year.
So wait, are you going to be in... So we're all flying out to CES, which is mm-hmm. coming very, very quickly.
Yeah.
Too quickly.
We're all flying out... I think all of us mostly on January 1st. Are you going to be in Vegas for CES on Hanukkah?
I guess we all will.
Yeah.
Don't
tell you, yeah.
Can you make us some latkes, please?
I'll
bring the applesauce.
If you can find a latke in all of Las Vegas, I will be impressed.
Challenge accepted.
Good.
We could continue. Fun there. Where can people find you all on the internet?
If you want to hit me up on Twitter, I am just Chris Velasco on Twitter, or VLZCO on Instagram.
Dana?
I am Dana Wallman, no space, just my name. Be nice, everybody.
Be nice. Wish her happy birthday.
Yeah. Happy birthday.
There you go. I am at Devendra on Twitter, and I also do a movie podcast, so check that out. /film.
It's real good.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. Thanks for joining us, everybody. Don't forget to rate us on iTunes and check out the podcast next week when we talk about the worst of 2016.
The losers.
The losers. But for now, we could celebrate the winners. Simply the best.
Simply the best.
Bow, wow,
something,
wow.
Something, all
is that the same song?
Is that? Are those
the wrong song? I don't
Guys, we're so steeped in culture.
Yes.
I'm so proud of us.
Okay, we're done.